Monday, June 10th, 2024, Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available to review by all citizens in attendance. Take attendance.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
I'll make a motion to excuse Brian from the meeting today.
I'll second.
All right. Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. If there's anybody that wants to speak on anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to do it. Go up to 5 minutes. So, you got something for us, Walt?
I'm going to try and cover in 5 minutes, but it's very important that we get all this information out. Is that fair enough?
Let's get going.
All right. I'm going to hand out some things for you that I think is important. For right now, just read the date on that. And then I want you to read that date. I think I got some more. You need some more?
How many do you have? We're close.
Yeah,
we got it.
Okay. Everybody see the date? We'll cover that in a second. In the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to go to the next page and read the top sentence. That's the right one. No grants can be issued whatsoever, which means you have no public lands, loans from the state or the until that property is public property. And that's what I've done for the last year and a half to establish that. Why? Before I could even do anything, I had to, and myself had to be sold on. I did a lot of research. Number one, I found out as far as the public test doctrine, and we're going to cover that in a second. I went from what they call the Crown of England, went to Spain, went to France, went to Louisiana to purchase, and then to statehood, that the land belongs to you and I in the public trust doctrine. I kept going. I found out there was a bunch of lawsuits. The first public that was in 1803. When I was sold, it was sold lock, stock, and barrel, which means they bought the land, the water, the birds, the ducks, the geese, the deer, everything come with it. That is for you and I to appreciate because God gave it to us. Okay, and then I found out that the court case is on here. And the first one, when there was a Supreme Court rule on the public test doctrine, that was in 1842. Behind that, 1874, which is a few years later, United States Supreme Court took Morton. Morton was taking salt out of the Salt Sea in Nebraska. Lincoln, mm-hmm. Didn't know that. Was taken out of there. And Morton sued the state. Well, in this lawsuit, it wound up the United States Supreme Court got back into it. And what they said, and I got a copy, so I said, heirs to the Nebraska Supreme Court. So already Nebraska was on the wrong side back in that year, and it was 1874. And what the ruling was in that particular ruling case, that there was patents that they were issuing out there, that's what they're doing in the land beds, on lake beds, is null and void because there's already a document called the public trust doctrine in place in a what I call a irrevocable trust document. Could not be changed, which means all the stuff that happened all these years here said that belongs to the state. I took it one step further. I got a copy of the lake bed. Let's see, I'm trying to think of the first one on here. Well, let's just start with in 2006, okay? 2006, there was a revised version of the lake bed. The United States Supreme Court, our legislation in Nebraska, okayed it, certified it. That was 2006. I got another certification in 2022. I got another certification as of the date that you see it on, which is this year. The United States owns the Butcher. I would love you, because I think a lot of us, we can't move forward on our lake project until we find out. We need some guidance from our Attorney General. I would like, Bob, if you read that bottom page, second page, if you'd read that for everybody, because I know somebody may guess that one. It's in plain English, and everybody should understand it.
It says public trust doctrine is a legal principle establishing that certain natural and cultural resources are preserved for public use. Natural resources held in trust can include navigable waters, wildlife, or land. The public is considered the owner of the resources, and the government protects and maintains these resources for the public's use. The doctrine is most frequently used in the context of water bodies. Throughout the United States, most lakes and streams are maintained under the public trust doctrine, typically for the purposes of drinking and recreational activities. The public trust doctrine also prevents private property from extending to the ocean.
Everybody got that? I have a copy here. This is what I call the engage in the law supporting substantiability on earth. The public trust doctrine. I'm going to read to you. This is on page 2, and I've given this copy to everybody, including a county attorney here several weeks ago. The trustee has an obligation to take the steps required to protect and preserve the resources from substantial impairment. This includes protecting the trust as a whole and covering the law with congenial reality. From where I started just to read all this and everything I was reading, I was convinced that the lake bed belongs to the state. So I did more investigation. To the paperwork that I picked up, I found out that there's property out there that is being taxed. Lake bed property, which is state property, is being taxed by people, what I call adjoining property owners, are being taxed on that. I talked to our attorney that does the taxes, assessor, and she agrees everything I showed on her, but we have an issue, and it's a big issue, is this has to be okayed or for the, what's it called? Since then, I'm going to say that some of you probably know that our sheriff went and talked eyeball to eyeball with our attorney general. In these laws there, we have in law number 12, Roman number 12-8-2, it says the county attorney shall work with the county commissioners in all projects for the benefit of the community. Okay, that didn't happen. And I volunteered that if we can't get that to happen, I'm going to pay for the attorney, because I have for 30 years and I have an attorney to do it, to get clarification on this lake, because if county is assessing these people illegally, they can't get that money back. And for us to knowingly know that it belongs to the state, I says, we got to correct that. And there's a lot of issues in correcting that, because you got to divide what I've got property right in front of me, and that's kind of what was involved in it. They added about 150 feet off from my property line, which is part land, and out in the lake bed. And if you look at the map here, That didn't get added on mine because I didn't go for it. Where did those dimensions come from and why? There's things happening, and I'll tell you right now, I don't think anybody here did this purposely. I believe this was all done on assumption. Assumed for over 150 years. And they thought when people were getting a warranty deed, they thought that, gosh, it must be legal. And if warranty deeds were given out, I'm convinced that nobody ever did a title search. A title search is going to identify who, because I found it, and I'm not an assessor. I mean, the searches on it. If they would have found out on it, well, we cannot continue, the state, the county cannot continue to charge taxes on lake bed property to the joint assessor, and this has got to address it. And we've got to do that by getting a letter to the Attorney General, if need be, go there, because he's got to give us some clarity on it so that we all know that we can take care of this and proceed forward. Now, this all leads up to the second thing, and I'll leave it go here. As you know, we've all had several meetings with the Olson Engineering and engineering firm Bob Brian Wells on it, and they give us a quote, which give you guys a copy of that document on it, right? I've since went back and I got a copy, and I gave that to you 2 weeks ago. What's involved in what I call a phase one on it, and typically a phase one covers what's the water going to test out, and of course if it doesn't test out, the party's done right then and there. The next thing I'm going to do is the feasibility and the plan. I've got lined up, as soon as we get the go-ahead here, with the guy that's the head of the engineering department of Empirical to do a walkthrough with the engineer. We can't do that until approve it. What I did is I put together what I'm asking for is one of the legal owners of the lake bed, and so are all of you. You just passed him out.
Well, there are no legal owners
there
according
to you. All of you are legal owners based on the law. Under, now I know you doubt that, but go ahead and ask the Attorney General. That's what this is all about. We are all legal. If you just read it, you just read to it, to you, that says we the people own it under the guidance of a public trust for Nebraska.
I'm not an attorney. And
I'm not either.
No, I'm not. But I just my little insight on it, because I happen to be part in that area. In 1976, the state of Nebraska said, we want to build a bypass around Dakota City.
Yep.
And my dad had 120 acres, and it involved 35 of his acres. So at that time, my dad worked a deal out with the state. So the state paid for that property. Why would the state pay for property they already own? Did the state take possession of that on a warranty deed? They would have done a title search,
right?
Wouldn't they?
Probably for the same reason in the lawsuit that happened with the Morton Salt Legend. Why did it says heir to the United States, not the United States, the Nebraska Supreme Court? I also have a copy of a map. I think some of you have all seen it. I showed it to you. It's about yay big. It has the lake bed completely etched out all the way around. But the most important factor in there is they have the elevation of 1085. That's the high water mark between bank to bank. Why was that established? Because where do you run the light when you're going to be buying property, or where is the property line? That's what it was. They established that, and I've got a second map that's got the interstate all drawn on it. It's identical because it was copied of. One is an architect's drawing of it, and that also tells me they did that for a purpose, to find out what the state owns this property, and it's all laid out. You've seen it on it. And so we've got evidence after evidence after evidence that we own a lake. Now, people are going to challenge it. Help yourself. But anyway, I have an attorney that's going to work with me because I am part of the owner. The law says so.
Okay.
I got that. But anyway, anybody got any questions on it? Because at the end here, I'd like you to see if we can't get it, because I can't get this attorney or this engineer to come look at this property till we get okay here. But the cost is going to be broken down in by the hour. I don't know what it costs to go get a water sample. I bet you it's on less than $100. And to do a walkthrough, you're talking about probably another couple $100. And it all gets down to what is the value of water.
I'll just point out one thing to you all.
Sure.
For future reference.
Sure.
When you're on the board,
yeah,
you can't approve anything that's not on the agenda.
Okay.
So we don't have anything that we can act on the agenda
today.
So we can't give
I told you that's why I give it to you. So
no, I just wanted you to know that, though.
Okay.
So we can't.
I'm sure I got to get more rules and regulations on because.
Right. And if I may chew as well, real quick here, we need to figure this thing out one way or the other, okay? Because bottom line is we need to put this thing to bed because whatever your future holds, okay, with you running for county commissioner, you know, best of luck to you. But once that happens, if you're fortunate enough to get on or unlucky enough to get on, I should say, you will not be able to make any decisions on this anymore. You will have to abstain from everything. So we need to get to work on it and figure it out. Whatever, because I think you want to put it to bed, figure out one way or the other. I think everybody at this table wants to put it to bed.
Yeah.
It would be great if it could happen. Yeah. No question about it.
If you want to say one way or the other, you know who's in my favor? United States Supreme Court. That's what I'm banking on. If you guys want to take on them just to find out who owns it, you're foolish.
All right. Thanks for your information. Thanks for your information. Go ahead and keep moving forward. Do what you think you need to do, and you're always welcome to air your opinion.
That's all I can do because we cannot really move forward until we find out who owns that land, which I understand very much. So does the assessor. She wants to know, can we legally collect taxes? That's where you come in as a board. So it's got to be resolved.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak on something that is not on today's agenda?
5 minutes? Almost.
Did you want to... You want to step up for a minute? Just state your name and then tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
David Cruzmark, and I live on the Dakota Nixon County line south of Watermary. I was here a few years back with the same problem, and we went through and we documented that our place has flooded 4 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And we have a 20-foot grade through there, so it cuts over the road.
Yeah.
Or close to it. But anyway, just a quick little thing. Back in 72, there was a bridge in there, about 72, I'm not sure on the dates. They took that out, and they put in an 8-foot culvert, and they straightened the creek, which kind of caused some other problems with they didn't get the old creek bed right, and there's wetland, but that's another issue. And then there's a bridge above us and a bridge below us, and they seem to work just fine, but ours backs up. We bought the land in 86, and right after that, we had a flood, and they came in and they put in a 5-foot culvert alongside an 8-foot culvert that's in there. That helps some, but it's still not doing the job.
If they're both clean at the time of a high water thing, it's still just on a big rain. It just doesn't keep up like we had couple weeks ago.
2016 or 18. You can see we had our big excavator out there.
Yep.
And my son kept all the logs pulled out of the big one, and we got in trouble for that because we didn't have any place else to put it. We put it on the other side of the road, and then we got in trouble because the landowner over there said, you can't do that. But he kept it clean, and it's still flooded. You can see in that package how bad it flooded then. It was over a long ways there.
So with this wet season, what's happened out there?
It's
this year.
It hasn't been bad except for Friday.
He did flood Friday.
It'll handle an inch rain or 2 inch rain, but when you start getting up there, and when it was up, like I said, it's a 20-foot grade, and it was within a foot of the going over the road. We drove over the hill to the neighbors, Kenny Bertram's over there, and the water, he had the same amount of rain. The water was just going through the creek. Just it stayed in the banks, basically. A little bit got out.
Yeah.
But where we're at, it's just
made a lake. Yeah.
And we drained 3,800 acres coming down in there.
In the watershed, there's 3,800 acres in that.
So every time it does it, we got to go out there and pick up logs and sticks and dead cows and bales and everything else that floats down there, you know.
Okay.
And,
We're kind of, we're looking at some county road projects, and we're going to be going out and taking a tour of the county in a bus here in the next month or so. So, I mean, I've never had a more thorough documentation. That's a lot of good information that you gave us, for sure.
Yeah.
And we will definitely be out to your property to take a look at it.
Thank my wife, because there's only been a few pictures of it.
Well, she did a very nice job. Tell her she did a really good job. So, I think...
I don't know. And on the last page of that little handout, it's a study they did in 2018. It's in Sibian there somewhere, I think. Yeah, and it shows then what the recommendation is in the bottom, paragraph there, which would be an awful big expense. But I'm going to appear go to the Dixon County Board tomorrow, because this is county line, and as far as I know, things like this are shared between Dixon and Dakota County.
I know, like the bridge we shared with them. So, I'm sure it would be a shared deal with Dixon County. So meet with them, and I'll look into contacting them and see how they feel about it, and then we'll see what we can do.
Anybody wants to go along tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah. I'll meet you there. we got to get something done. Some people ask me, well, you were on the board of Dixon County for 16 years. Why didn't you do anything? Well, when I was on the board, about the whole time, all my land and all the land west of me was all CRP, and hardly have any trouble.
Yeah.
And now everybody's
farming it again. So
it all comes down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that.
Difference.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, and we'll definitely be looking into it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Great time.
I told you, earlier about the tour. If you want to take the tour.
Yep. If Troy can't get in line, you could run us through with one Emerson. So.
Yeah, Emerson said that I could take the bus. I'd volunteer my time. I'd drive bus for him.
Okay. All right. Well, I sure appreciate that, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else with public comment? Come on in. There you go. Stay right there.
Okay. I just wanted to thank the support of the Cook County Board, Glenn Meyer, running for the in camera. I really appreciate all your efforts at the primary. I would appreciate your continued support. I'm going to spend a lot more time in Dakota County. You'll probably get tired of seeing me drive around and knocking on doors and meeting people. I really enjoyed it. You know, the cold call part of salesmanship is always tough, you know, knocking on doors and talking to people. But once you get started and the interaction with people and then the ideas you get really, really are a real plus. It gives you the opportunity to really solidify your thoughts and to get some new ideas, and I really appreciated that. So once again, I would appreciate your support in general, and certainly thank you for everything in the past. So if there's anything I could do for you guys, sister county and everything else, we share some boundaries, but anything we can work on together mutually, I'd be more than happy to. And once again, thanks for all your efforts.
Glenn, all the feedback I had from the people that had run into you during the campaign was nothing but positive. So I think you definitely made some inroads over here, and keep up the good work.
You know, there's so many doors to knock on, and we kind of focused in some different areas, and we knew we had a lot of work to do up here, and we're going to do that work.
Yep. All right.
Really looking forward to it.
All right.
Yeah, good luck to you.
I appreciate that.
Thanks. Yep. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from May 28th. Approval of payroll claims May 26th to June 8th. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. And approval of accounts payable. I came in earlier today and went through payroll. and the additional claims, everything seemed to be in order.
So moved.
A second.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Next, we have John Cannon here, the executive director of NACO. So welcome to our corner of the state. When our forefathers got together, I wish he could have gave us a few more acres out there. We're kind of a small little corner of Nebraska, but we're glad to have you up here.
No, I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for Sheree for putting me on the agenda. Like I said, my name is John Cannon. I'm the J-O-N-C-A-N-N-O-N. I'm the executive director of your Nebraska Association of County Officials. And I always make sure that I stress the your part. We're a membership association. You guys own every square inch of everything that NACO has. And so if you want, if you're ever in Lincoln, I'll show Kim the carpet square that's got her name on it. Marty, I'll show you the brick that's got her name on it, and so on down the line. But primarily what NACO's about is we're there to provide service to our members, and it's all elected county officials in the state. 1,500 of them across the state, that's a lot of folks. And we primarily do that through education and advocacy. And there's a few other resources we have as well. I'll get into that. The reason I'm up here is to talk about what it is that NACO provides, to make sure that if there's anything that you didn't know that we provide, and you hear me say something about it, that you guys take advantage of it when you can. If there's something that we should be providing that we're not, I want you to tell me about it. But also because this is what we owe you as members. I mean, it's fun to invite you to the party in Kearney, and we all have a good time at the workshops and the annual meeting and all that good stuff, but it's a lot more meaningful when we go to where someone lives. And so the way I view it, this is what we owe you as our members. I told the staff a few years ago, you can expect to be on the road during the summer. Larry Dix, my predecessor, had told me that, really after the legislature adjourns and really until about mid-October, it's kind of slow around here. You can kind of kick back, take time, do whatever you want. And first of all, that was a lie. But second of all, what I told the staff was, we're going to double down on making that alive because we're going to travel and get out to the counties because that's what we're supposed to do. So I'll get to the resources and the education that we've got. Coming up this week, actually, we've got a county budget workshop that starts 8 a.m. in Kearney. We're going to talk about budgets. We're going to have folks from the state auditor's office, from property assessment division, the property tax administrator will be there. Zelle Human Resources is going to release their county employee salary study. Traditionally, we've done a salary study for county elected officials, and so before you guys set the salary in the upcoming election in 2026, we will send out a salary study in 2025 so you can set those salaries so people know what they're running for. We had the question the last time we released that, well, how come we don't do that for county employees? Because that's, obviously a big portion of the workforce is the actual line staff. And so and we said, well, because we've never done that before. And that, as you know, that's not an adequate answer. And so with the approval of the NACO board, we undertook a salary study. We worked with our friends at Zelle. We're going to release the results of that at the county budget workshop. And don't worry, you don't have to attend the workshop to get the results of it. You guys provide some information to us, and so we'll make sure that you get that. But I'm just going to say we're going to publicly release it on Wednesday. But also with the budget workshop, the governor is going to be there, or at least so far he said he's going to be there. As you guys probably recall from, if you observed this last year's legislative session, the governor's really been on about property taxes. We talked to him a lot about, what the budgets mean and what the locals do. And I'm not going to slag unnecessarily, our friends at the cities or the schools or anyone like that. But one of the things that we told the governor a lot was, hey, the counties are not the problem. I mean, if you see our budgets, our property tax requests go up, that's really because the price of hot mix asphalt's gone up 10.5% year over year, or gravel's gone up X percent. And when you look at what counties do, I mean, we do roads and bridges, law enforcement, jails, courts, and elections, and those are things that people think are pretty important. There's not really a consumer market for those sorts of things, and so we're kind of at the mercy for whatever the market decides they're going to charge us on those things. But the governor's very, very insistent that he wants to have fiscal discipline. He wants to have a message of fiscal discipline for every elected board in the state. And so I said, well, if you're really serious about that, governor, you ought to attend our budget workshop, because the people that prepare our budgets are going to be there. And you can, bring that message of fiscal discipline to them there. And for whatever reason, I must have said the right thing, because he agreed to be there. Now, he's a busy man. We'll see if he actually makes it. So I'm not, I'm not going to say that I'm going to hold him to it because, again, he's the governor of the state, and you know, we're just counties. But, but oh, by the way, we're not just counties. I mean, 93 counties cover every square inch of Nebraska. There's 1,500 elected officials across the state received a sum total of 4.2 million votes. Nobody else in the state can say that. So I think it's important that the governor attend these sorts of things for us. After the budget workshop, we're going to slide right into the county board workshop. We're going to have a lot of education for you all. The agenda is online if you want to take a look at it. We'll be presenting the Outstanding County Board Member of the Year, and we had some pretty good applicants and some good nominees, so I'm looking forward to presenting that. So one other thing that we have as far as our workshops are concerned, October 11th this year, we're going to have the NACO Legislative Conference. That'll be out in Ogallala. At the building that we're building out there. If you've ever thought, and I'll talk about the building in just a second, if you ever thought to yourself, gosh, there ought to be a law, that is your chance to present something to the NACO board for us to carry forward. And so what I will tell you is that assessors, clerks, treasurers, county attorneys, sheriffs, they're all incredibly well organized. And so they get together over the summer and they decide what they want to bring forward as their legislative priorities. And they traditionally presented that to the NACO board at the legislative conference. I noticed when I first got to NACO that boards weren't really so adequately represented. I mean, of course, boards make up a majority of the membership of the NACO board. But by the same token, there have been a number of times I've had board members that have said, John, I want to bring up this subject. And we didn't really have a very organized, thoughtful way of getting that presented to the NACO board. And so best example I can use, Bill Tilkey, as the supervisor in Holt County. A few years ago, he said, hey, John, I want to be on the agenda for the legislative conference. I want to talk about township roads. They said, sure, Bill, I'll put you on the agenda. And so we put him on the agenda. We went through assessor, clerk, treasurer, weed superintendents, highway supers, all that good stuff. Got down to the 5 minutes I had for Bill. I said, Bill, what would you like to talk about? He says, I'd just like to talk about township roads. I said, well, what do you want to do about it? He's like, I don't know. I thought we'd have a conversation, see what the board thought. I'm like, this is not helpful. You need to have something a little bit more definite that we can put in front of the board and have a vote as to what we're going to do. So what we've been doing in the last several years is you've got your district directors, and so the Northeast District Director, that would be, why am I drawing a blank? I've been getting really, really in trouble. Bill Tilkey, I just mentioned, use him as an example. Bill Tilkey's your Northeast District Director. Your representative on the NACO officers is Troy Euler from Madison County. You can bring something to either of them. You can bring something to me. You can bring something to Beth Farrell. We'll get it prettied up for you and presentable to the NACO board. So I mentioned the building out in Ogallala. So a few years ago, when I became the executive director, I said, hey, look, board, I've never been executive director before. What sorts of things do you want us to do? What are the things that NACO does that it shouldn't be doing? What are the things that we're not doing that we should? What are some things that we're doing that we could be doing better? And so we undertook a year-long study, went through a whole bunch of different stuff. We looked at the things that each of the offices does and relies on. And we came up with a nice long list, and I put it in front of the board, and I said, all right, I need your priorities. And they took a look at the list, and they said, yes. And I'm like, that is not what a prioritization is. And so one of our board members said, well, I'm sure that between you and Candace, you guys can just get this knocked out in your spare time. And we all had a good laugh about that. And the board said, but really, we want you to do all these things. And so, and I don't have a problem with any of the things that we're going to do. This, mass appraisal, GIS, a lot of stuff involving the tech that's in our courthouses. But what I told the board was, if you want us to do all these things, we need to change our model. Nebraska is a very, very big state. 77,000 square miles. It's 456 miles from Omaha all the way to Kimball and back again. And if in order for us to project our resources more efficiently, we cannot just be in Lincoln. We have to be in Lincoln because of the big giant building catty corner from our office. Because we talk to the governor, we talk to legislators, all that good stuff. But for us to project resources efficiently, we need to be in another part of the state, probably the western part of the state. And the northeast part of the state is coming probably in the near future, although Kansas is going to have a heart attack when I bring that up for her. So if you think about the state of Nebraska like a giant tent, one of the tent poles is in Lincoln. It makes sense that one of the other tent poles would be right around Ogallala. So the board did not bat an eyelash. They said, go ahead, look for some land, look for a place. We went out and we looked at some places around Ogallala and selected a site that's north of town, just south of the lake. Construction's going on. If you get any of the NACO newsletters, you can see the pictures of the building and how that's come along. We're expecting it to be done sometime in late August, early September, and we're going to have a ribbon cutting in October. So if you attend the legislative conference, it'll be in conjunction with that. So hopefully we'll get all of you here, all of you there, or at least some of you. So anyway, as part of that building, and one other thing I did want to mention, when you look at the state of Nebraska, everyone knows that the population tilts heavily toward the eastern part of the state. When you look at the population of county officials, which is who we serve, if you take a line north-south from Cozad, which is about the center, reasonably close to the middle of the state, 60% of all of our county officials live east of there, and about 40% of them will live west of there. So, again, counties have a board, they have an assessor, a clerk, a treasurer, an attorney, a sheriff, all those different offices. And so our geographical distribution is actually fairly even throughout the state. So, again, it makes sense that we have something out in the western part of the state. So we're very excited about it. It's very terrifying. But my thought is, by having resources out there, that means the folks that we have in Lincoln, they'll be more able to be more efficiently deployed for folks that live in the eastern part of the state. I think it's going to be a net win for all of us. If you have a new executive director next year, we'll know that I was wrong. So, fingers crossed. But anyway, that building that we've got, we're going to have some meeting space there. We've got some office suites that are there for people for us to rent out. We've got the place already rented out completely. The Attorney General's going to be one of our tenants. Zelle Human Resources, who I mentioned earlier, they'll be one of our tenants, as well as NextEra Energy. They're a pipeline company. I wasn't quite sure about how that would fit with our model, but the check's good, so we'll take them as a tenant. We're also renting out the meeting space, and we've got events already scheduled out through the beginning of next year, so that building is going to be full. We're going to have employees there as well. We're hiring for a marketing assistant, or a marketing rep. We've also hired an insurance benefits specialist, Greg Mooney. He joined the team in February. And Peggy Brass, who's our operations clerk in Lincoln, she's originally from the Panhandle, and so I will tell you that I approached her as delicately and as gentlemanly as I could, and I said, Peggy, you're a valued resource. We trust you. We think that you would be the kind of person we could rely on if we were managing you remotely. And so, because I know your family's out in the western part of the city, if you wanted to office out of Ogallala, you would be welcome to do so. And her first response was, are you trying to get rid of me? And I thought, okay, that didn't go the way I wanted it to. But anyway, after thinking about it, she decided that she'd move out there, and we're going to help her with her moving expenses. And so, like I said, that building is going to be full on day one, so we're very excited about that. So a couple things I do want to talk about some other resources that we have. One, we've started a cybersecurity cooperative. We partnered with NIRMA and a number of vendors across the state. You guys are covered, and I appreciate that. So that's something that's very, very important. I can tell you that there's a lot of information in the county courthouse that bad people would like to get their hands on. If you don't believe me, talk to your assessor. She's got taxpayer ID numbers when people file their personal property returns. Talk to your treasurer. She's got bank routing information for some people that are making payment or taking payment. And your county clerk. You've got social security numbers for people when they apply for passports, for instance, or marriage licenses and a number of other things where there's information that people would like to get their hands on. And so cybersecurity, we think, is something that really is almost an infrastructure issue. It's just like, you know, if you have to have something tucked pointed outside of the courthouse, cybersecurity is really part of the infrastructure. And so we're really trying to make sure that we promote that as much as we can. And one thing I do want to mention is that there are a number of grants that are out there, either through the state or through the federal government for cybersecurity, because it is that important that we kind of harden our defenses as best we can. If you have questions about grants, if your managed IT provider comes to you and says, you need to buy a new rack of servers or something that's going to be mind-blowingly expensive, let us know, and we'll see if we can hook you up with the right funding opportunity that's out there. So we've got our weekly newsletters that we send out. I hope you all have signed up for the 93, which Riley and Candace put together every week. Beth Farrell has her legislative report that she does when the legislature is in session. It provides a lot of information. I try to send out a lot of emails through the course of the session. You guys probably got sick of it and directed them straight to your spam folder. I apologize for that. I'll talk about more particularly the legislature in just a second. And then one of the last things I want to mention is the National Association of Counties. You guys are members. I appreciate that. They were really one of the big partners that we had as far as ARPA funds. And so everyone remembers when CARES Act came out, when COVID first hit, there was a whole bunch of money the federal government shoveled out to the counties, and they said, out to the states, and they said, get this to your local political subdivisions, no strings attached. And every governor across the country, and including ours, Governor Ricketts at the time, said, no, I'm going to attach some strings, because if the federal government can claw this money back, we want to make sure it's being spent correctly. And I can't say that I blame them, but it was kind of a pain in the neck. And so the second round of funding that came along The National Association of Counties realized, everyone knew there was going to be a second round of funding. National Association of Counties said, that's not what we intended. We wanted this to be a direct allocation. And so they worked with the Trump administration, the Biden administration, both parties in Congress, both houses of Congress, U.S. Treasury Department, to make sure that we did something that we've never seen before, which is a direct allocation to county government across the state, or across the country. And so they were a principal partner in that. And so, you know, Dakota County, you guys got your ARPA allocation. If you took the $3,889,000 that you guys received for ARPA, and you divide it by your $450 annual membership fee, and you only use your ARPA allocation for your annual membership in the National Association of Counties, you would pay for 8,644 years of annual dues. I'm not suggesting you do that. That would be illegal. what I am saying, though, is that you're getting a really good return on your investment. So I just, and they're not paying me to mention that. I'm just, but they've been good and valuable partners for ours. So like I said, you know, one of the principal duties that I have is lobbying the legislature. I get to go over and stand on that hard marble floor every day. Bob, you probably remember what that was like. That's probably why you got the heck out of there. So just a few things of items from the legislature I wanted to talk about. First was the inheritance tax. You guys got all the emails that I had. No one is really super excited about the inheritance tax. But, oh, by the way, we are in a very unique position. And you'll hear people that are detractors of inheritance taxes. They'll tell you that, well, we're one of only six states, soon to be five at the end of this year when Iowa gets rid of theirs, only one of six or five states, depending on how you measure it, that has an inheritance tax anymore. And that's true. But what I can tell you is that Nebraska is unique because of all the states that have it or have ever had it. We're the only one where the money is received directly by the counties. Every other state is received by the state, and it just becomes budget dust. And so, as you guys know, our primary source of revenue is property taxes, which I'm sure you've heard people talk about those. And so without the inheritance tax, the point that we've made, and you guys did a fine job of making your point abundantly clear, so without the inheritance tax, either property taxes are going to get raised, or services are going to be are going to get cut. And when it comes to the services that counties provide, they really tend to like the services that we provide. So we don't want to cut those if we can help it. So thank you for the work that you did. I know that Senator Albright was a pretty hard yes as far as voting to repeal the inheritance tax. But what I can tell you is that the effort on a statewide basis really made a difference. There are about half the people that are co-signers on that bill. They said that they were only going to vote yes if there was replacement revenue for counties. That was included in that. So we're in a really good position. It got filibustered. We ended up winning. So, you know, hooray, good for counties. One thing I will tell you, though, is that they are never going to stop. And so one of the things when I first thought that this thing was going to go away, I had two state senators that when I brought up the subject of inheritance taxes in a meeting with the governor, they laughed in my face and they said, John, the inheritance tax is gone and there's nothing you can do about it. I said, game on. So, but what I promised every senator that I talked to say, please vote against this, was that NACO, you know, we will work on ways of finding the replacement revenue. We're interested in those sorts of things that are collected locally. So for instance, documentary stamp tax, for every $2.25 that we collect, we get 50 cents and $1.75 goes to the state. Motor vehicle sales tax, we get 0.5% over the $6,000 that we remit on a monthly basis to the state. And so just as a, for instance, $372 million was collected statewide in motor vehicle sales taxes. That's a pretty significant chunk. That more than makes up for the $100 million that we received in inheritance taxes. If counties are able to retain a little bit more of those funds that we're collecting at the local level, inheritance tax becomes kind of a non-issue. But we've got to make sure that it's right, because not every county has the same mix. So that's something that we're working at. We've got a stakeholder group. We put together eight senators, someone from the governor's office, Open Sky and Plant Institute. There are a couple of think tanks that are in Omaha and Lincoln, and then four people from NACO, me and Candace, Marv Coho, who's our NACO board president, and Mary Ann Borgeson, who's Douglas County commissioner. So also in legislation, the governor's property tax package, he did not have the votes. It was going to have a cap on spending by local governments, and we had negotiated some reasonable exceptions to make sure that counties, by and large, were going to be largely unharmed. And there were a couple counties that probably would have had to feel it, and they're primarily larger counties, and believe me, I heard from them. But ultimately, what happened was that bill got shot down. So we'll see. However, the governor wants to call a special session. I'm not sure that he necessarily has the votes. And so, you know, fingers crossed. We'll see. I have he's talked about end of July, early August, and I happen to have a trip with my wife to the Tetons, and so I'm really hoping that it's sometime a little bit later. Last time I heard him say anything, he said it was going to be before school starts, so we'll see what happens with that. The point is, and the reason I bring up the legislature is because I'm not as good as Larry Dix. I'll be the first person to admit that. But the strength that we have as an association comes from you guys. And I mentioned earlier that the county officials across the state received 4.2 million votes, and that is not something to be trifled with. No one else in the state can say that. And so when you go to your elected representatives, when you call the governor's office, when you call your state senator, and you say, hey, here's how this thing is, they want to hear from you, because you are the boots on the ground. You're the version of government closest to its people. But second, they better listen to you, all right? Because as I've told a lot of them, their voters are our voters, and that's a very big deal. So, I encourage and I thank you for your continued lobbying and advocacy with our elected representatives. But also, I want that to extend to candidates. I know that Mr. Meyer was here. Traditionally, when I go to a board meeting, if there's an election coming up, I'll invite the candidates. I sent out a note to Mr. Meyer. He accepted it pretty quickly, and so I said, well, I don't want to have a campaign rally here, so I didn't send out an invitation to Mr. Albright, but I'll probably do that with one of the other counties up in this district as well. But it is important to have the candidates come here, listen to a board meeting, see the sorts of things that you go through, the things that you're paying for when you're paying claims, the sorts of controversial issues that you've got coming up, because they need to understand how county government works. I can tell you, and Bob, you probably know this better than I do, when folks get to the legislature, they do not understand how county government works. And when you look at this current legislature, 49 people in there, four of them were former county board members. Two of them, are more friendly to us than others, but that is what it is. But they need to understand how county government works, and the best way to do that is to have them come to board meetings. So invite Mr. Albright, invite Mr. Meyer back, have them talk to you, say what they would do in Lincoln. I think that's important for us to have that relationship, start building that relationship. So a couple other bills that do affect counties that were signed, LB 43, that affects the public records laws and the Open Meetings Act. Open meetings, traditionally we've said you have to allow a public comment period, but you don't have to have one for every meeting. The change they made to the Open Meetings Act is that you have to allow public comment at every meeting now. And then with open records laws, residents of the state get 8 hours of work for free before you start charging them. Non-residents do not get that. You can start charging them right away. And also LB 938 was a bill that was passed. That's for the County Purchasing Act, and that establishes new thresholds. Right now, if you have something that's over $50,000, you have to put that out for bid. That threshold will be raised on January 1st to $70,000, and then in 2029, I believe, it's going to go up to $90,000, and then sometime in the 30s, it's going to go up to $110,000. And then all the thresholds below that for non-competitive bids and all that good stuff, those thresholds will go up as well. So that is all I've got. The last thing I do want to mention is the fact that I am here because I am your employee, and treat me that as such. So call me up on a Saturday night. I've taken phone calls at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, and it is totally cool. My wife has gotten phone calls at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, so we've got the whole thing worked out. My number is 402-202-5759, and give me a call or text anytime, and I'll be happy to work for you. It is a privilege of my life to work for county government, because I really, truly believe that we're the version of government closest to its people, and I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
I do have a question, John. Back in your Department of Revenue days, the question has come up here about TIF and the money that generates. If I'm Omaha, where do I report that, and how do we track that?
So the Department of Revenue has a report they're required by law to publish every year. It's a TIF report, and it goes through. It's really kind of more the forms that are filed, and it just kind of gives you some very raw data. It doesn't tell you how far along someone is with paying off their bond. However, the state auditor's office has general responsibility for monitoring TIF, and so they've done some reports in the past. I think they had a report last year about a project in Winkleman where they had the bond paid off after like 5 or 6 years, and they were still collecting money off the TIF, which seems to be a little bit of a problem.
Right.
So the state auditor is a resource, the Department of Revenue with their annual report is a resource, and otherwise those documents are all public, and so
that'd be available on the auditor's office website.
A lot of documents.
If you're looking at a specific city.
A lot of that would, and if there are questions that you still have, then the city or the Community Redevelopment Authority is responsible for maintaining those documents, and they would be public records, subject to a public records request.
Another thing, switching gears on, you didn't mention on one of the bills was 164 that reallocates ARPA funds.
Yeah.
Can you explain that just briefly? What does reallocate ARPA funds entail?
Yeah, so we had that on the radar, and it didn't really affect county government, so we kind of just paid attention a little bit.
It has nothing to do with county?
Doesn't affect counties.
Okay.
Yeah, no, so our allocation, I mean, it got deposited into our accounts. The state has nothing to do with it. But the state also received an ARPA allocation. And then they started allocating in certain ways, and then they decided, you know what, we want to allocate it over here. One thing I'll mention, and I know that, show of hands, who's heard of the Epic Tax? I think everyone probably has. So NACO is kind of fundamentally opposed to the whole thing, and I'll mention why. And that kind of goes along with allocation of funds from the legislature, which you'll recall from your legislature days. And that is, I stand in the lobby every day, and when the legislature is making decisions on where money goes, where the state's money is going to go, it overwhelmingly is going to go to Lincoln and Omaha. And I'm a tax lawyer in Lincoln, so that benefits me, right? So when they reallocated a lot of things, there's a lot of money that went toward the canal project in Perkins County, but also a lot of money that went to North and South Omaha. And fundamentally, I don't want to get into, you know, too much of a political diatribe about where I think the money should be going when the state has billions of dollars of ARPA money laying around. But that said, there is an allocation to specific parts of the state and not the state as a whole. And for me, I represent 93 counties. And so when I see there are, you know, five or six counties that are getting the majority of the ARPA funding, I think that's a little bit of a problem. And so 164 kind of allocated stuff in very, very specific spots. I wasn't super thrilled with it, but again, because it wasn't strictly a county issue, they weren't interested in NACO's input on that. So.
Staying on the ARPA theme a little bit, so if we, because we're looking at doing a road project, and I know you can't bond and have that tied into ARPA money on the project and bond. So could we pay for, say, the design, some of the engineering work up front with ARPA funds, and then bond for the actual road?
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
That's interesting.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's helpful.
But by the way, if Kim tells you that I've said anything wrong, I will refer to her. So.
Okay. Lastly, on the ARPA, you know, we're coming up against a December deadline.
Yep.
For allocating for whatever project it may be.
Right.
Is there, if we go to your website or the national website, is there a list of, because my fear is that if we get to December and we don't have it allocated, mm-hmm. we don't want to give it back, right?
You have to have it obligated by December 31st.
Right,
or else
right.
It gets
but
back.
But it, is there a, what are some of the ideas, crazy ideas that you've heard throughout the other 92 counties that they've done with ARPA funds? I don't want to put you on the spot, but is that out there available for the public?
There's some limited information that's out there. I'm not quite sure how easy it would be to find that out. Most of that information will probably be on the U.S. Treasury Department's website. I won't say that anything that anyone county has done is crazy, because, you know, I'm their employee too. But what I will say is that I've seen some things that I hadn't expected. There are some counties that use their ARPA funds as part of an interlocal agreement with one of their villages to fix the water system. That's not out of the ordinary. By the way, that's specific to one village, right? Not the entire county, which, yeah, that's interesting. One county, they said, we have a very serious problem with childcare, and we don't have a facility that can house the children that we've got, so we're essentially going to purchase a childcare facility. And with county money, we're going to allow a private company to operate out of that. I was not expecting that. One county, they took their entire ARPA allocation and they gave bonuses to their employees.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Yep. The same county that Steve Rubin's from, by the way.
Oh, really?
No editorializing there.
But, they were dancing in the streets, weren't they?
The county employees sure were. Yep. Yep. Yeah, they and then, oh, by the way, the next year, like, oh, well, we're stuck with our, you know, our lousy wage. So.
Right. But, that was a nice bonus.
Yeah, it was very generous of
them. So we appreciate, and I know I appreciate all your emails from the legislation bills. And I got frustrated, though, I'm not going to lie, because the inheritance just kept getting pushed back. When you start reading it, and it was just like, when are these guys going to come up with an answer? Because I think it was on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
You know, of course. And I was just, I think I told Sheree, I was like, Jesus Christ, this Cannon's, he's killing me with this, with the inheritance tax. Just kept, you know, every time I opened up an email, I was like, this is today. No. Next week. Yeah, no, I get it.
Well, it's one of those things where, and Bob will tell you, the Speaker of the Legislature has very broad power over setting the agenda on a daily basis.
I'm sure.
There are a lot of times, and I would go to the Speaker's office just about, if they didn't adjourn, you know, super late at night, I'd go to the Speaker's office after adjournment and be like, all right, Mr. Speaker, is inheritance tax up? He's like, it could be.
Yeah, so, and good
was,
answer.
And that was when the email blast would go out.
Right. No, I hear you. Oh, yeah, thanks for everything you do for us.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for coming out.
Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate your time.
Very informative.
All right, next we're going to go to Rodney. We're going to talk about closing Stable Drive for the car show, which has become an annual event and very well attended.
Yeah, we're on year 10, actually.
Oh, very cool.
Is it 10 already?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, 4 over here.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Probably.
Kind of exciting. Like, I say every year I'm going to go, but I never do.
Yeah, I just need to shut it off for the same reasons like the fair shut off. Mm-hmm. People walking back and forth over the road. So
you want it on the 19th of July from 8 a.m.
Yeah,
to July 21st at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so that Friday. That's
on the 21st.
Yeah.
Yeah, we start setting up, and that Sunday we'll have it. The road will be open back up pretty much Sunday. But.
And you use the road department's road, the barricades.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that. Is anybody else?
Nope.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second it.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. That'll be fun. Yeah. I'm going to make it out there.
Yeah. Got to. One of these times.
Yeah, I'm going to. I will.
Thank you.
I'll see you there this year, right?
Yeah.
Next, we have Greg Utek with the Thurston County Fair. And talking in his stead...
Greg
kind of
better
for me. Yeah. Oh, amen.
I'm Laurel Drawing with the Thurston County Fair. Just requesting approval of a liquor license August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
What kind of liquor are you serving?
Beer, Scott wine.
Because I told you I was going to ask a bunch of questions. No, I'm...
So that's for the first, second, and third, right?
Yes.
Again, with the same...
Yep.
Yep. So see, I'd say I'd make a motion to do that.
Awesome.
Second.
For 30 seconds, I just...
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Informative.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
I'll see you there at the liquor tent.
Okay.
All right.
No, you won't see him. You don't see him. 2 weeks from now, I was going, there was a place that was
something was going on. Yeah. See you. Thanks.
All right, next we have Sheree Conley, Dakota County Fair Board, requesting approval to close a portion of Stable Drive Wednesday, July 31st through August 4th, again for our fair, and use the mag for dust control and use the same barricades.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Thanks. Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. And then, we're looking at a new leasing agreement for our postage machine due to mandatory machine upgrades by UPS going in
mandatory
July 1. Mandatory, yes. So there's in your file there a picture of the new machine.
Well, actually, there's two options. He came and chatted with me for about an hour last week. The first machine, it's the IX-7. It's pretty much similar to the current machine that we have. The rate would go up just a couple of dollars a month, not much. The second option is an additional, $1,200 a year, but it has a scale built into it so that if somebody comes down with a stack of mail, they have one piece of mail in this envelope and five in this one, you run them through and it automatically weighs and posts it. You don't have to sort them out and weigh it.
So well worth $100 a month?
I think all the employees and offices would appreciate that, because right now they have to try to sort them.
I would think so. So on that there, the approval for that, okay, is that the one that's highlighted that says the dynamic weighing platform for the IX Series 7 Pro basis for 362?
Yeah.
83?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion on that one there, and the employees will be happy and save some time.
It saves a little bit in postage, because if we get to the post office,
well, sure has to be a money saver.
We have to come back and get a label and then take it back over.
I've done that many.
That's my motion.
All right. I second that.
All right. Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Jolene, hey.
Hello.
Are we still talking about this front road thing?
It's a little bit different issue this time, though.
Right, yeah. So, did you guys get this paper here?
Yep.
As you can see in the blue, this is what the tech zone. So basically, we are landlocked. We thought there was an easement here. Once Tim got to looking into it a little more, it's not as cut and dry as we thought. So we thought if we have 0.57, and this is approximate. I just did this on Google Earth.
Yep.
0.57 acres here of additional right-of-way that the county has. That's all we do is mow. What started this is Greg came and asked about putting in a fence, the fence line, so we got to look into the property boundaries again and found out we're landlocked. So we're discussing with Greg, he has north of the driveway, and we take south of the driveway. And that's a little less than a quarter acre, that's a little more than a half. But like I said, Tim can go through and look at this and clean it up a little more. Just wanting to know if we have permission to proceed before we get in.
I don't think we have any other choice.
Who owns the property south of the driveway?
Yeah,
it's like every time we have a survey looked at, there's I would say that would be we'd have to get to our setup. So no, I think that'd be a good.
I'll second Marty's motion.
All right,
for you guys to.
Move forward.
Okay. Reestablish the property line. Thank you.
And also, I'm kind of thinking it's going to be an even trade on things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think that would be, if they would do that, that would be in the county's interest. Don't you guys believe, or what do you think?
Even trade.
Money wise, I mean, we get the south side, they get the north side. I mean, we're talking, less than a half an acre, mm-hmm. I'm sure, once it's all said and done.
I don't see a problem with that.
Actually, instead of messing with easements and going through all of that, by the time we start trying to move money around and pay for the survey and then all of that, then
do we want to slide our road, or is he all right with the road right where it lays?
I think everything is good.
Okay.
You know, we allowed us to have a 65-foot right-of-way.
Yep.
And then that could change too more once Tim looks into that a little bit more and make sure we have what we need.
Okay.
With site distance on that curve and everything, but this is kind of what we're looking at for now. So.
I would think that's a good idea.
Okay.
All right, Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Okay, then before I start my road report, I wanted to introduce you guys to Scott Stoltz. He's the gentleman we hired for our weed and fine. He's just going to be here different times of the year presenting reports and doing things, so I thought it would be nice to put a face to the name.
For sure.
All right, perfect.
Well, nice to meet you, Scott.
Nice to meet you, Scott.
Appreciate you signing on with the county.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunity out there.
Yeah, yep.
There's a lot to be done.
They'll keep you busy.
Yeah, hands full for a while.
Yeah.
As of today, since I started last Monday, we've got 34 miles of signage checked over.
Okay, good.
And approximately 36 miles of sprayed ditches. So.
Oh, wow. Good for you, Matt.
It's busy.
Yep.
You got some catching up to do.
Yep.
No question about it.
Job security for the first few years, I guarantee you. You're not gonna
find a lot of roads that I never knew existed.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Bob.
I appreciate it. If you have any concerns or whatever, if you want to contact any of us, just give us Sheree. And then we'd like to have your cell phone, too.
Oh, okay.
If you don't mind. Okay. You can email that out to us or whatever.
And you can block any of us, you want.
Thank you. So we had 278 hours on road maintenance, 30.5 hours on tree removal, 4 hours on magnet, 4 hours on road drag, 128 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 471.25 tons of road gravel out on the roads, 40 hours of signs and barricading, and I will add the weed spraying to this. And then we hauled 752.24 tons of aggregate into the yard, and we had road concerns for grading on Nottoway, L Avenue, Civil Way, 207th Street, and requests for gravel on Perry O and 250th Street. One of the gentlemen from EnviroTech is going to come out Monday to look at M Avenue.
Okay.
He decided to wait after we got a little moisture to see what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. So tentatively, if it rains over the weekend, he's going to be here. He said he'd leave first thing Monday morning from Colorado and head this way. So
okay.
We do not have any updates on the Homer Bridge. We're
still waiting for the railroad.
Yep. Anything else?
And Bluff Roads, they're got that shut down. That's going.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they said I was out in Valentine last week for a conference, but they moved in there on Monday, and they were saying that the bridge was pretty much all tore out Monday afternoon.
They were cutting steel out already Monday afternoon.
Good.
Oh, nice.
So they were on that. So.
And out towards Bill Roadie's there, where he wants to straighten out the road and extend the culvert. Any luck getting hold of anybody on that?
No. I sent you the number. Did you have a chance to try?
No, I haven't tried.
Are you trying to get a hold of Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck. What do you even deal with that guy for? I like him, but he's slower than... I can say so, but I'm not going to say anything. But seriously, give me a break.
You meant molasses.
Well, I was going to say something else.
I'll
reach
out to him again and... Yeah, because
it took us 3 years to get a study done for speed limit. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
We were hoping to get it out for, well, I have a couple projects we were hoping to get out in June, but it looks like it's going to get pushed back for some fall projects. But I'll maybe go knock on their doors or something.
Hey, Jolene, I didn't look at this year's, at the current 1 and 6 year road plan. Do you remember on the 1 and 6 back in 2008, something about Fiddler Creek was on there and talked about paving a mile. Can you refresh my memory? Is that still
on there?
It might
still be on there, like towards the 6 year, but we just keep pushing it back. I mean, due to funding, different things pop up that are...
Why did we, when we had Steve Harrison, our...
Why didn't we continue to do it?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was a deal where Steve was taking care of the labor. We were buying the concrete. And we wanted to do X amount of feed every year.
I think it just got to be funding issues.
I understand that, but it was like...
And it just kept kind of kicking the can down the road, and different things needed to be done. But, yeah, looking back, it would have been...
What did we do it for 2 years, I think, with him?
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years. Yeah, like,
and we pretty much got past where the main house, the main.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then where the road come up over the corner and straighten out. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't ever remember the 1 and 6 of them wanting to do it every year. I guess I don't remember that.
I mean, they talked about wanting to do that. You know, like I said, we just kind of keep pushing it down. I mean, we have South Bluff on there. We have
have M Avenue on there, and there's a couple. I mean, it'd be nice, but just different things.
Not the money can't take care of, right?
Right.
You good?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff Dooley. Can you update us on Lake Iwana?
Yep. We're about 30% into it right now. I met with Troy and Jolene last week just to kind of go over some of the catch points that we had. We've got some ideas in front of you that we just want to kind of show you our preferred alternatives and where we want to take it to hopefully get 60% by the end of the month and get this to meet your schedule that you want. But I'll turn it over to Brett, but Bob made a really good point with the ARPA monies. You know, being able to split out the engineering and pay for that with ARPA, that's good. And we'll look for ways to try to divide out any other costs that we might be able to, that kind of separate them and pay as much as you can with the ARPA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'll be testing costs and stuff on the back end that you won't want to bond for. And then once we get the bid and, you know, see where the bids come in, you can make your decision on ARPA versus bond.
How the funding takes care of
it. Kind of go from there. But I'll turn it over to Brett, let him go through some of these options with you. And once we get your direction on that, we can take it back to the office and try to get up to 60% and keep this moving forward. So.
I guess regarding keeping this moving, I don't talk to the back end of that comment, but I believe we committed to August 31st to having bids received for this job, and we checked that just before we came here, and we should still be on schedule.
Yeah.
I was joking.
I didn't hear. I wish I would have.
Yeah, I wish I would have.
Something about another company taking too long to do But yeah, so we have a couple of different concepts in front of you here today. Hopefully you all have the images of that in front of you. But the first thing is that first intersection. That's what we'd like to talk about. So we put together a couple of different options for how that intersection can look. We'll tell you the preferred one. I guess let me take one quick step back even. Our goal today with presenting these would be, here are some concepts for 30% plans. This one is our preferred concept. If you guys are okay with that and don't have any objections to it, we move forward that way and continue the design. And if not, you know, if there's some pushback or some options you'd like to discuss more or further, we kind of change direction and follow those, chase those down a bit before we continue our design further.
But the three areas we look at are this first curve, how you want to handle that, the drainage, and the temporary roads.
Okay.
So those are the kind of three areas.
Perfect. All right, so first, the concepts of that first intersection. The A1 sheet that you have with the tightest intersection there, that's essentially going to be just a basic plus sign intersection. There'd be a stop sign in both directions, and outside of that, there would be a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit. So that is the highest speed limit of the options presented here. So 30 miles per hour.
Because it's a stop sign.
Yes, and then a stop sign in both directions. So that one is likely going to require some acquisition to get a full intersection in there, some from the property owner to the north, and then some from the property owner there to the east. They would both get a partially paved driveway, or I would say the approach piece there, just to round out the radius of the intersection. So while potentially needing a little bit of right-of-way there, they would benefit from it as well. So usually, hopefully they'll work along with you. If we did chase that route down, we'd want to get acquisitions moving as soon as possible just to make sure that those are lined up by the time that it's bid so the contractor can do their work and have all that in line. The second option there on page A2 would be I think we said 30 miles per hour there in the top left corner, but that's wrong. This one should be 20. This one is 20 miles per hour, and that uses the existing right-of-way that is currently platted there.
Good.
So no stop sign, traffic continues right on through there. There'd be a driveway that kind of comes off this at a 90-degree angle to the existing property owner there, Dustin and Angie Kale, I believe it says. But yes, roadway would fit within the right-of-way, and no acquisitions would be needed. But the downfall there is a tighter corner, a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit, and then, of course, the potential for people to take that corner a lot faster than 20 miles per hour if they don't feel like slowing down. So sometimes you lower that speed limit, people don't listen, so then you have people operating in an unsafe manner on the road, I'd say. So that's option two. And then option three gets us back up to 25 miles per hour, but that requires some right-of-way acquisition from the property to the southwest here. If we're not mistaken, there's a duplex that's going up there right now. So we didn't feel this was a very good option. That home is already being built, probably based on setbacks and existing roadway locations. So getting an acquisition at this point is probably not a great idea. But that bumps your speed limit up to 25 miles per hour. Then the final looking concept there, A4, the largest of the acquisitions, and that keeps a 25 mile per hour roadway and bumps the same radius to the north rather than cutting off the corner of this property. That road could potentially be straightened out a little bit more, so you're not cutting back so quickly, but that'd be even more acquisition to make that happen. So of those four options you saw, our preferred option is the stop sign. It does not require a lot of acquisition. It maintains the highest speed limits, and then stop signs are a safe way to navigate through that intersection.
I agree.
Agree with that.
I mean, I don't know what everybody else's thought process is. I mean, I definitely, option two, obviously, the 20 mile an hour. I get it. Stop sign, or stop, turn.
It's the safest.
It is the safest.
What's the cost difference between one and two?
Between one and two. So, not.
$100 probably.
Also, I'd say.
Well, hang on, we're at a Harley dealer right now, $1,000.
It's negligible, I would say. Even that property acquisition could be in the form of a permit.
Could be what?
A permanent easement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, whenever you have a curve there, there's a difference between the sign speed, which people actually take it at.
Yeah.
So I guess I would just, once you put that T section in there, you eliminate driver error for that particular. Not eliminate, but reduce it.
Gene, have you seen the different options?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Jumping past the first intersection there, A5, I think, is the next sheet. And that is an example of the temporary access road we'd be proposing. It would take access off 160th Street, the gravel there, and then head north through that existing farm field, Mr. Mari's property, I believe, and then construct a new or a temporary gravel access road on the south side of the project. So that gets everybody close to their homes and have a pretty short distance to walk from there. Other options included this same roadway being paralleled to the south off of the existing Like You Want to Drive, off the highway and off Like You Want to Drive there. But again, those homes are starting to be constructed on the south side of the street there. So getting this away from that corner in particular was.
A5 is good. This is a good option, right?
Yeah.
I guess I never even thought about coming in from the south side.
And we could kind of parallel it or over. You got a road kind of planned in there. Maybe that's the half of the road. And
I'm going to build a road, yes.
There, so maybe that's
really close to your highlight there.
Yeah, we can maybe move that over and it just becomes
a
future
perfect
road.
Deal.
Okay.
And I don't have any problem with, say, people come from the south, you get up to where the lots are at. If they want to drive on the, out of my field, my lot, I don't care. As long as it ain't muddy, it gets a job.
Yeah, we hopefully use the gravel to
future road base there, or future reality.
To create us, so that when it does rain, it's not a bog to get through there, it's a reasonable path. But it's going to keep mine going to be temporary warm, but then at least your road base might be there for when you.
I'm willing to work with anybody on this thing.
Yeah, so you're talking about just using the existing road gravel base out there and when we're slinging that over.
Yeah, slinging that over and using as much as we can there.
Yeah.
Good.
Alternatives to that are, we don't have any of those pictured, but working with either Mr. Albanesius on the east there and trying to have some kind of temporary access route through his property, or, like we had said before, off of the highway, just mirroring it along.
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy equipment back in there, so I think that the Mark Albanesius option would be not a great one.
Fair. Next concept, or at least separate topic, which I think we forgot to mention actually, was the bus turnaround. So when we met with Troy and Jolene and Lance, we discussed buses travel down this road, and right now they've got to turn around, whether it's on, I think, Mr. Albanese's property there or what, but we proposed a gravel turnaround there as well. That too would be, it probably require a little bit of an easement or an acquisition of the Mari property there, a little piece of it, so that the bus has a place to turn around. Otherwise, there's really not a space it can fit in the right of way.
It's kind of located outside of your building.
Can I come up, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
so the current basement that's poured down there, Gene, does that infringe on where their driveways?
No. My proposal, I'm going to build. This road is going to come around and it's going to go back to the west. So where lot 16 is right now, we got a hole in. On the east side of that, there is going to be a turnaround. That road's going to go back to the west.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to buy it to get it east or anything.
That's kind of like the other road that came up.
Yeah, it's going to be there. Okay. And it's going to be started this year.
That is 16 where the basement is on the far end?
Yes.
Okay.
Clear to the east end.
Yep.
That road, my proposal is to bring around it and go straight west.
And that will eventually come through phase two back there?
Yes.
Make a loop? All right.
Yep.
Very good.
Awesome.
Problem solved.
Thank you.
So, yep.
Next image, A7, is our proposed storm sewer crossing. So the third topic we were discussing, how to handle stormwater. So for the majority of the project, the first section of the paved road there, water is right now just sheet flows off of that to the north or the south. There's a little bit of a ditch there, not much, but we're not proposing anything too significant for changes there right now. You're going to have the new paved area of the road, which was gravel before, so not a ton of new stormwater generated. And right now there's no planned development there, so no deeper ditch or anything dug up there, no new storm sewer system, anything like that for the first segment. Getting around the corner and then further south, we start a ditch there along the south side of the road, along from, I want to say it's probably, if the whole thing is 4,000 feet, we're about 2,000 feet in, and then from there to the end, we would have a ditch. In the center of that ditch, or the middle of it, coming from both directions, is going to be a storm sewer crossing, or we're proposing a storm sewer crossing.
Coming from the east and coming from the west.
Yep.
And the center, roughly, like you said, 2,000.
Yeah,
give or take around there, half the distance.
Would be slope to the south.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
The water would go into the ditch, and then it'll all come to the middle.
And then cross under there. So the two properties are 633 and 631, like you want to drive there. And there's a lot 10. It's split in half. Half is owned by, I believe it was Scott and Melvia Anderson. And then I don't know if we had listed who owned the 633 portion of it. But
is that right in your area, Walt, or no?
Yeah, it is. It's in between Bill Hackey's house and my home, I believe.
633 and 631. That's the two I have. But one would be Scott Anderson, and then the other, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it is Bill Hackey.
I have a plat on that property.
I'm not surprised.
From what we can tell, that seems like the most central spot for the ditch, so that the further you push this crossover point from one direction to the other, the deeper it's going to be. So we're trying to center it as best possible so that the ditch has to be the least deep as possible. It has to be the most shallow as possible before we cross underneath the roadway.
So if it winds up being a 30-inch, what is that made out of? What is that 30-inch pipe made out of?
Most likely concrete.
Okay.
It could be something, it could be it could be corrugated metal or it could be plastic. We'd be proposing concrete.
This is another example where we can maybe carve this piece off. Start up on some instead of bonding for it.
Yeah, when we get a little bit closer with some of that, we'll definitely sit down.
So the alternatives to that are all the way at the east end is another potential crossing location through maybe an empty lot. I think it was, again, near Mr. Albanese's property there. And then similar size pipe, but you're going to be a lot deeper. If your ditch just continues at that same grade all the way to the end, it's going to be a lot deeper there rather than having the middle point. So I'd call that option two. Option three is we just create a ditch through here and there is no storm sewer installed that takes it underneath the road. It just permeates into the ditch or evaporates in the air. So I've heard that there's some good sugar sand here that water permeates into pretty well. Personally, I don't want to bank on that being the way that water would get out of here. You look at a project like this, and you've got heavy equipment tracking around, you're moving some different materials on here to have a good subgrade, et cetera. You're moving a lot of clays around and whatnot, and that becomes far less permeable. So
you could drill, you know as well as I do, you could drill 10, 20 feet away from where you drill once, and you're going to come up. You could have something different. Right.
With all the roofs and option driveways, you're going to have a lot more runoff too. So.
And so that too, yeah, there's going to be more runoff, A, with the road, B, with more houses going in here, and if there's further development in this area, which it appears is planned, then this is going to be a good spot that you can send the water to and get it out to the lake, actually. So
yeah. Win-win.
So the pipe's located in the middle of that lot, and we would likely try to move it to one end or the other to preserve as much of
it. Just dealing with the landowners to find out what works better. Yeah.
So we would need to get working pretty quick with whoever assists with acquisitions at the county, probably.
Option A is probably a good option. Yes.
That is our preferred one. Yes. Yeah. A for this project and B for the future in this area. We would identify the area of this permanent utility easement going through this property and set that up and work with whoever, I believe, to get that to the property.
We might need some of your help communicating that with the residents there.
Gene's available for that, right? Or Wally?
Well, if you're okay with those options, we'll proceed on, and our goal is to get 60% set from Arizona.
I'd say I don't know exactly what the date is. Still having bids by the end of August, August 31st.
So that's the hard date.
Right. The stop sign, looking at the road coming in from the south,
yep.
Okay, and then the pipe going to the lake, meeting halfway. Yeah. I like it all. Do you?
I do.
Rock and roll, boys.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thank you. Guys. Thanks for getting back to us.
Yeah. We'll be in touch again.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep, see you. Have a good night.
Next, we are going to look at approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan Act. So we have a portion of a bill from Curry Floor from 2021. Is that correct?
Yeah. Curry Floor reached out to me, and they were doing some trying to settle their accounts receivables, and we worked together, and it came out that this was the portion that was left that hadn't gotten paid.
$629.50.
I don't understand. How can you be 3 years ago and coming back and wanting money?
Well, it was in the original, and somehow their book here, their accountant must have missed it.
Oh, well, sorry, the treasurer's office was off and on. They bid one.
Yeah, we bid it once. Then we're bidding the whole thing, then we're going to bid half the thing, and then one color didn't match, and one color.
A lot of back and forth.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth in that. So I'd make a motion to get Curry Floor their $629.50.
Yeah, I'll second that, Marty.
All right, let me get back up here. All right, Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
No. 3 years. Come on, give me a break.
Yes.
That's dumb.
Troy?
Yes. That's my opinion, but... Okay. All right, guys, have a good night.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Next, I would like Elizabeth DeRoyne. She's been trying for months and months to get somebody to come look at putting a countertop in over at the booking area of the county jail. Now she has found a to-do kit online where she's going to tackle it herself.
Yes.
And I think that there's nobody better suited for the job than Elizabeth DeRoyne. So.
Yeah.
If you're willing to take on that project, I would gladly support that. What do you guys think?
She's badass.
If you want something done, you just
yeah,
you gotta do it yourself.
Just do it.
I hear you. So it's $3,548.89
for
the material.
So I couldn't remember what all I gave Cherie, and I had John working on some of this with me as well. And what he had for. Just our booking area, yeah, was $3,852.18.
Oh, I thought that was the total, so that's what I gave the board. I emailed the full thing to the board.
So then I just am throwing it out there.
3852.18.
For the booking area.
If you breeze through this, I don't want to lose you to becoming an engineer and installer of countertops. So I'm just telling you, you're stuck with us for a while.
Yeah, no, I'm not going anywhere. So, and then I couldn't remember, Sheree, if I gave you a couple other areas of the jail or not, or if that's just the only one I...
You sent a lot, and I thought it was the compilation of this top one here.
So all together, since we're going to tackle it ourselves, I had a bid, one for our satellites, our counters kind of falling apart in satellite, and then to redo Marty's area up front, she wants it extended a little bit. Our nurse wanted hers extended a little bit, and then like out in the lobby, outside Marty's window and stuff there. And then our admin, we kind of wanted that shortened up a little bit to save some space. So if those are options, or I can present that different time, all together for everything for the whole building would be $8,759.45. But obviously booking is biggest priority. Other ones, just if we were...
Isn't Marty's area, isn't that like banged up or hanging, or isn't it?
They're all falling apart, and they all have the rubber front. Those are all falling off.
They're all original.
Yeah. 07. Yeah.
Yep. One outside her window we've tried propping up.
I would say we'd like to see and everything and this and that, but for you got 38, 52, 18, and like I said, we know the other ones are in bad shape, and I don't know why we just wouldn't
satellite years of everyone
just do 87, 59, 45 and just get it over and let her do it, you know. Just have at all the projects and get it done. That's my motion. Is 87, 59, 45.
Bring my trailer and my tools and
Your trailer and
bust
tools.
It out.
Yeah, and just get it done because like
and your husband.
I told him, I said, you know, if I get stuck, you're coming with me.
Yeah, that's right.
Can we do that or not?
I can get it.
Yeah. Okay. No,
the only thing we have on here is the one.
Can we approve them all or not, Kim? Just to do it all. She has down there.
Maybe it's all in here.
What's that? The countertop?
Yeah, like that top one there, I think.
Yeah.
So that's Marty's, the nurses, admin.
So she has them all then. So they all total to $87,59.45.
Sheree has them?
I don't know. Maybe.
Come here and take a look at this to make sure we have them.
And you got the back.
So that would be. Yep, so that's like our nurse outside Marty's desk right there, admin. So that's pretty much 80% of the facility.
And then your jail areas.
So that goes with all of it. So then here would be my satellite area. That's $1,358. And then my booking.
Does it have a total on the bottom of that there then?
So, I mean, I didn't get a chance to get it to you guys, I guess.
It's all right. It's okay. So,
if you guys want.
Do we have to have her come back or just do the one, or can we just do them all? I mean, we got them here.
Do you have it all there?
I mean, she.
And I can leave it.
We can thumb through it and look at it. I mean,
what's your motion?
My motion is to just let her do the whole thing at $87,59.45. of all the countertops that are needed throughout the jail.
I'll second.
And this is what they'll look like, just a gray. Kind
of very chic for your inmates.
Simple, right? Simple.
Right.
Easy. Maintain.
Right.
Scott.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep. Commissioner committee reports.
Thank you.
I got one. You bet. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you very
much. Thanks a lot. See you. Okay, no, I don't think I have anything.
No, buddy. I have nothing.
I didn't have any this 2 weeks either. So, Scott, what did you want to do? Did you want to make a motion?
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about
Brian's not here, so.
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah.
I hope he listens to that. It's not just like that.
Midget.
Not that I'm going to call her anything, but still call her the nail.